Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory, all with great warranties. And we all know how the budget works these days. Budget may be saying, yeah, I need a new car, but pre-owned may be the way to go. Well, you want the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle on the lot, all of them. And that's what you're looking for. And not only that, it's all backed up by a service department that takes care of it all. Routine, oil changes, inspections, and of course, and it's difficult diagnostics. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15. Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Yesterday in the show, I said good news and bad news. And I said the good news, the bad news was that the Pirates were playing twice yesterday. I said the good news was they were two games closer to having the season over. Yesterday, they lost twice to the Cardinals, and the nightcap, they almost did something historic. But somehow,
the 2-2 pitch
did this.
Fly ball into center. Banner going back, over his head. It's a clean hit. It's a ground rule double. And Cal Mitchell breaks up the no-hitter as the Pirates were down to their final strike.
And that'll be it.
The Pirates Radio Network named Cal Mitchell their offensive player of the game. All right, so,
the Pirates can't even get no-hitters right. They've won when they've been no-hit, and then they break one up when they're down to their final strike.
Disgusting.
And that wasn't even the only weird thing that happened in that whole day yesterday.
Really?
I'll try to play that a little later.
Can't believe something weird happened at a Pirates game. You'll have to find that, huh? All right. Well, before you do find it, we can play it later in the show. Let's get to something serious, very serious. I always enjoy talking to Brandon Short under any circumstance, but unfortunately, this is not the easiest circumstance to talk to him about. But we will do it anyway. Brandon, we welcome you to the show. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show.
All right. The Carly Short Better Tomorrow Foundation. You lost your beautiful daughter. You lost your grandchild last September. Now you want to do something, obviously, so none of this is in vain. It's impossible to go what you're going through. But how did this idea come up, and what do you want to accomplish with it?
Yeah, well, first of all, just thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on to the show. And, you know, the loss, such a tremendous loss is, for lack of a better term, you know, devastating. You know, my family and I, you know, are still, you know, struggling every to come to grips with the loss of Carly and, you know, our grandson. That being said, we wanted to find a way to try to make something, you know, positive, you know, out of all this. You know, we received an outcrying of, you know, support at people asking what could they do to help. And being on Penn State's board, you know, access and affordability is something that I think about regularly. It's, you know, the American dream is based upon having an education and upward mobility. And, you know, at Penn State, you know, I see how many kids struggle to be able to, you know, pay tuition or have to go to a food pantry. And, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to honor my daughter's legacy than to provide, you know, scholarship dollars for students that have been going through the challenge that we're going through now, being affected by gun violence.
Gun violence, 45,000 Americans die from gun-related injuries each year, and the unfortunate, as unfortunate as that is, black Americans are killed by gun homicide 10 times more often than white Americans. How important is it for you to look at the African-American black community in helping with this, some of the scholarship money?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely important. It has an outsized effect on the African American community, but it's a national problem, and our mandate is broad. I mean, it's anyone who's been affected by gun violence. When I say affected, meaning you've seen it, you've witnessed it, you're dealing with the trauma of it. You don't necessarily need to be directly, you know, affected by it, but there's no question that it affects this has an outsized effect on the African American and Latinx communities, and it's just an opportunity to help, you know, help lift people up and you know, create, you know, a better tomorrow.
On Friday, July 15th, you'll have your first official fundraiser. It's a gala that will take place at the Omni William Penn in Pittsburgh. Yeah. To get the support that you're getting, you know, Franco Harris, Mike Logan, Curtis Martin, LeVar Arrington, among others, how important has that been to you?
Well, it's been tremendous to have this type of the support. I mean, everyone you name is still a friend, and you know, they've offered, you know, the opportunity to help. We're still waiting on Kurt to confirm, but those are all people that are close to me personally, and they wanted to reach out and support. We also have Spice Adams, who's going to come out and be the MC. You know, like you guys know Spice from being a D tackle. League, but most people know him from with, you know, the Scary Spice at the Great American Bake Off. Yeah. You know, that's hosting that show and his old Spice commercials. So Spice is going to be the MC, and you know, we're having other people confirm. You know, every week more and more, you know, people in the sports world are confirming, and it'll be a night that, you know, hopefully sports fans will never forget.
Well, all right, very quick on Spice. My favorite Spice moment is a practice moment. I'm standing at the practice field because, you know, I'm at practice all the time. And, and I don't know, somebody did something and Joe said something and he runs up from behind Joe and he lifts him up in the air and just put me down. And then he looks back. It's Ant Adams.
Well, that's classic Spice. My classic Spice is Santa Claus. But he actually played Santa Claus every Christmas because, you know, we would be away from our families those Christmases, and we would have a Christmas party. So Penn State, we were each other's family. And for 3 years, Spice was Santa, and needless to say, he's the best Santa I've ever seen.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, you've had a lot of stuff going on with this. I mean, Super Bowl tickets, sideline passes, for a bunch of matchups, not just like one or two. Jesse Palmer's going to give a tour of the Bachelor Mansion. Jay Glazer's going to help oversee your fantasy draft. You know, what does it take organizationally to put something like this together? Because everybody wants to help.
Yeah, and then there's been an outcry of support. You know, the NFL and my brothers in the NFL, they've all been, you know, so generous with their time and energy. You know, we're going to purchase two Super Bowl tickets, and we'll have two Super Bowl tickets to auction. We're going to have an online auction where everyone can participate. You don't need to attend. We'll put it out there on social media. You'll have an opportunity to bid on the Super Bowl tickets, bid on Giants, Eagles, with sideline passes tickets, Steelers, Ravens with sideline passes, Rams, Panthers with sideline passes, State, Ohio State, with sideline passes. And as you mentioned, the Jesse Palmer, he's going to host the Bachelorette Men Tell All show, and you know, you'll have a meet and greet with my teammate Jesse. So there's a ton of items that are out there. There's a different ways for people to support. You can make just a direct donation. You can participate on the online auctions, which I am as well, because I want some of those items. Or you can just come on out to the event on July 15th in Pittsburgh at the Omni William Penn and have a good time.
www.ksbettertomorrow.org. www.ksbettertomorrow.org. Whenever you're involved in something, you always want to leave everything better than when you found it. I'm going to ask you a couple of quick board questions, if you don't mind. One of them is by getting Neely Benbatuti in here, and now, of course, she's made the hire of Patrick Kraft, and he'll start on July 1st. What kind of progress do you think that gives Penn State in the direction it needs to be so, in the end, this university is better off?
I mean, we are, first of all, starting at the top with Neely, we are thrilled to have Neely Benditti as our next president. She ticked all the boxes that we were looking for in a candidate, someone that had an academic background, you know, that understood academia, but also had a business background. She was a banker, so she worked in the private sector, so she thinks commercially. She has a great personality. She's a marketing science professor, but she has a great personality where, you know, she connects with people, and I think she has a fantastic vision for what Penn State could be, and I am thrilled to have her as our next president. And her first, you know, the major hire, you know, was Pat Kraft, and you know, Pat, you know, was at Temple, was so young. He has some roots in Pennsylvania, and he's up at Boston College, and all the feedback we got on Pat is that he is a complete rock star. You know, he wakes up every day thinking about how to make the athletic program better. He's a former Indiana football player, so he's a walk, and he was a walk-on who earned a scholarship. So, like, for me, that means a lot, because I know how gritty he has to be and how tenacious he has to be in order to be in that position. And I think that he'll be a great complement, you know, he'll help lead, you know, Penn State's athletic department into the future.
Yeah, she did refer to Pat, by the way, as her second best hire because of Michael Wade Smith, of course. Number two, who is so important, as you know.
Absolutely. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Michael. Apologies. Michael is like, he's like, Michael is Neely. I view him as an extension of Neely.
No question. I mean, there's no question about that. And they're both so outgoing and personable, which is the same with Pat. That's the way all three of them happen to be. They're three people that try to connect with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important, and that's an important trait, you know, that I mean, I believe for a leader is, you know, connecting with people and communicating, because, you know, one of the big challenges that we have as leadership is that, you know, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, but it's not actually communicated. It's like people don't understand the decisions that we make, you know, are highly debated. And, you know, the pros and cons, and there's you know, healthy, you know, disagreement in the room. And then when we make a decision, we like to be as unified as possible, and we go out and say that we've done X, Y, or Z. And communicating, you know, the work that we've done and communicating the vision, you know, for the university is an important element of a leader, and I'm glad we have that in our new leadership.
All right, and also a part of the board, you know, being a letterman, being somebody that is passionate about football. I mean, football, it's obvious a university is a university, but boy, the football program could be a great front porch for the university. We're in interesting times, especially with name, image, and likeness. How critical will be fan support in multiple areas to keep Penn State football where it needs to be?
It's going to be essential. You know, that the name, image, and likeness, they're In the short term, there's no rails on it, and there are a lot of people out there that are just throwing money, you know, up in the air. And in the long term, I think that there's going to be some rails around it. and that they're going to have to be. But, you know, but in the short term, like, we're going to have to make similar commitments as other schools. You know, Ohio State, you know, has come out and said they need $13 million a year to compete. Now, that seems like a massive number, but it is a massive number. But if you think, you know, Penn State's program brings in $100 million a year to the university, so is it a massive number, you know, relative to what the benefit to the university is? So we're going to need to you know, adapt in our thinking. I'm from the old school. I'm a Joe Paterno guy.
Yeah.
And I don't like the concept of, you know, paying a player or doing something like paying players. And I know a lot of our fan base doesn't either. But to that end, they've just made that legal. And the teams that have done that illegally for years have an advantage on us because we don't know how – that was cheating. We don't know how to cheat. Now it's legal, and they got the jump on it. So like Penn Staters do, these are the rules. We should play against the rules and do everything we can to close the gap and take the lead. You know, not just close the gap, be the leader, you know, in NIL.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is adaptability. I mean, that means it's, you know, that's what the current rules are, so you adapt to the current rules, right?
I mean, that is the rule for business, for life. For anything that you do, you have to be able to change with the time, and whatever the rules are at that time. We as Penn State, we are always going to, you know, put academics first. We're always going to pit bringing in the right type of kids who want to have a positive effect on the community and each other. But at the same time, those aren't mutually exclusive to being able to give somebody $1 million contract like the Ohio State quarterback got last year. That you can do both, and both can be happening. I know that those numbers seem staggering. You know, they are for hardworking families, you know, around Pennsylvania. But it's what our competition is doing, so it's what we need to do.
Well, speaking of staggering, hopefully there'll be staggering numbers that come in for the Carly Short Better Tomorrow Foundation, which will take place on the 15th of July at the Omni William Penn in Pittsburgh. People can donate online. There are also auction items online as well. And I know that as tough as this is, I know there's also an excitement within you because you know you can help other people. And I think that's obviously an important goal with all of this, especially with the gun violence that we have in this country, unfortunately.
There's no question about it. Gun violence is a scourge, you know, on our country, and it's having a negative effect on so many people. For lack of a better term, we're all traumatized by this, and we want to be able to reach out and help young people that are going through this trauma, that, you know, reaching and giving them the financial support and hopefully down the road the mentorship and the emotional support that they need will help them, you know, go off and be successful and hopefully, you know, pay it forward and help other people along the way.
And of course, you know, Jack and I saw you and offered our deepest condolences. This is impossible to deal with, but I give you all the credit in the world for taking something that is as awful as this and thinking about others. We want this to be a great success, and thanks so much, Brandon, for your time and all the effort and time that you put into everything you do, including Penn State.
Thank you. I really appreciate the kind words. And come on out and join us. Come down. I invite you to come on down and, you know, on July 15th and, you know, have a good time with us. It's going to be a celebration, and we're going to do everything we can to bring attention to this important issue and try to help some kids get an education.
At the Omni William Penn in Pittsburgh on Friday, July 15th. And don't forget, you can go to www.ksbettertomorrow.org. The Carly Short Better Tomorrow Foundation. Brandon, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
Brandon Short. All right, final half hour, we'll talk about the U.S. Open as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Uh-oh, and Yachty could be picked off. He's got to hurry and get back. And he thought time was called. He started towards third, and he thought he balked. And here comes Ollie. The pitcher that was on the mound for the Cardinals went to the windup with a runner at first, and they called a balk. That's the right call. Now, you can go to the windup if you want with a runner at first or second.
It's on you.
It's on you. The 2-2. Chopped up the middle. Castillo gloves, and that's by design. That is something the Cardinals work on. The run will score. Sosa in a rundown. Back to his bag. Smart play by St. Louis, and again, it is by design. I asked Ali, what the heck is going on here? And he said, no, we worked on this in spring training.
Ali, by the way, is somebody who has appeared on this show, geez, I don't know, 10, 15 times. That's Ali Marmol. That's who Ali is. He was the manager of the Spikes for 2 years, and we had him on the show for 2 years, 10, 15 times. Now the manager of the Cardinals. And doing a great job, not surprised. He's a great guy. Nothing but good things to say about him. Next half hour, Cam Rogers on the U.S. Open. We'll get into greed a little bit. Well, I'm trying to think if the suit's name came up or not.
I guess we'll find out.
Well, I looked up greed in the dictionary. His picture was there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory carries the Sunbury Motors guarantee because they go over every vehicle. And the service department takes care of the routine, oil changes, and the like. They take care of inspections, and they also take care of the tough stuff, diagnostics and so forth. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. You said you had a big complaint. We haven't heard it yet. Want to make sure we got it in, that way you could get it off your chest and we'll call it a therapeutic moment.
Well, apparently the Flyers front office isn't watching how to win, because yet again the incompetence of this team strikes again with the hiring, or looks like the possible hiring, of John Tortorella. You talk about hiring a guy, first of all, you're hiring a retread coach, which is never a good idea. You're choosing between him and Barry Trotz, a guy who just won a Stanley Cup. So if you're going to go that route, maybe you should pick the guy that least won a cup. But no, we pick a guy that is an incompetent hothead who can't win a cup. So we'll be talking about another head coach in probably 2 to 3 years when this all blows up. I can't. I'm still going to... My apathy for this team still is there.
Feel better?
Thank you. They're getting as bad as the NCAA. Sorry, I had one more.
Oh, you have more?
No, that was it. I had one more jab at the Flyers front office.
Oh.
That they're as bad as the NCAA.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, Tortorella will be a challenge for the media there. That ought to be an interesting give and take.
There's that, too. Yep.
He is not exactly what you would call media-friendly. I don't know if you have to be, but not exactly media-friendly. He doesn't put up with what he perceives to be nonsense questions. He, in a lot of ways, has the same press conference personality as maybe a Greg Popovich does. He doesn't think you're as smart as he is, so he talks down to you. Okay. All right. Let's get to the U.S. Open. You've been angry about this for a long time. Not the U.S. Open, but the LIV Golf Tour.
Correct.
Jerry Dulac will join us tomorrow. We'll get into it with him as well. But now we go to Massachusetts, And Cam Rogers joins us once again. Cam, great to have you back.
What's going on, Steve? Great to be with you. Happy U.S. Open week. I'm some 45 minutes away from historic The Country Club. I'm here in Plymouth, Massachusetts for the next month enjoying the sunshine.
Right near the Mayflower, man.
There you go.
Know the area well. I'm going to be up there myself in about a month. So, Cam, it's all been about LIV and about the PGA Tour. There's been very little talk about the U.S. Open. So what is your opinion? LIV has one event in the books with eight more to go this year. We know what the money is. What's your opinion of it?
I think it's all so fascinating and also surreal because this has never happened in my lifetime of covering the game of golf, talking about a rival tour that is starting to cherry pick PGA Tour players over to this league. And what I find truly fascinating is we have this dichotomy now where you have one side of golfers who are choosing legacy and morals, and then you have the other side who are choosing basically their pocketbooks. And I am in no position to really criticize either direction. I understand both perspectives, if you will. On the one hand, you have Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and John Rahm who prefer the best of the best. They prefer the heat of competition. They prefer the legacy that they will leave behind. And oh, by the way, they're playing great golf right now. And then the other folks, such as Phil Mickelson, who has some $40 million in gambling debt, reportedly, and Louis Oosthuizen and Patrick Reed, who are not exactly playing great on the PGA Tour right now, are preferring financial stability the rest of their lives and guaranteed money while also potentially being able to play in the major championship. So it's really this interesting divide that you're seeing on the PGA Tour right now, and we are going to see a lot more of interesting news stories coming through as this LIV Golf Tournament Invitational Series continues to move on here through the summer and into the fall.
I think we might see a couple more, quote, defections before they get to Portland and Pumpkin Ridge.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah. And if we see more information about the major championships allowing LIV golf players to play, then you might see more defections, right? Because I think an important distinction for your listeners is that the PGA Tour does not run any of the four major championships. The USGA runs the U.S. Open. The RNA runs the British Open. Augusta National Golf Club runs the Masters. And then you have the PGA, not the PGA Tour, running the PGA Championship. So put that all together, and you could be, you know, having these LIV golfers playing in the major championships while being suspended by the PGA Tour. It's a fascinating situation.
Yeah, the one event they can't play in is the Ryder Cup. Or President's Cup as well. People don't get as involved in the President's Cup as they do the Ryder Cup. But they can't play in that, at least as of right now. All right. What I also find interesting is the only guy on LIV that had a press conference. And look, he stood there for 25 minutes. As flat as it was and as halting as it was, Mickelson at least stood there for 25 minutes and took questions. None of the other guys have.
Right, and good for him for facing the music. I think that was the right thing to do to get that done on a Monday and then just move on to preparations for going for the career Grand Slam, might I add.
Yes.
And, you know, like you said, it was 30 minutes of nothingness. Like, I thought he was sort of awkward, unprepared, even ashamed at times during this press conference. It was a different type of Phil Mickelson. And I don't know, you would think that maybe he huddled up with his PR team throughout the 4 months of not playing any golf whatsoever to sort of figure out how he was going to answer these questions, but he seemed unprepared to answer them. So I thought that was sort of a disaster for him, and I wonder if that's going to leak into his game this week at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he didn't putt well last week at the LIV event, for anybody who watched it on Yahoo. he didn't putt well. Although Bob Herrig did say that, you know, he went out and covered it. He said, what did you think of it? He says, actually, it was actually pretty good. It wasn't that bad the way it was staged. So, I don't know. Do you think that at some point, I mean, Jay Monahan, when he was on with Jim Nance, I thought Jim Nance did a very good job with him, by the way. He asked all the right questions. But I also thought Jay Monahan didn't exactly come off as a bundle of confidence either in that interview. Do you think there's going to have to be some sort of compromise here along the way to let players go back and forth? Because, for example, European players bag the European tour to come over and play here.
Right. Yeah, listen, I think the biggest positive takeaway from all of this can be that Jay Monahan is going to have to go on the offensive to improve the PGA Tour. Clearly, Phil Mickelson was mad about what was going on the PGA Tour. Now, what Phil Mickelson wants fixed is probably not is what is best for the game and bringing in more fans. He probably wants more money.
Right.
But to get more money, you need more fans so that you get more ad revenue. And, you know, there's this sort of chain reaction from there where you get bigger TV packages and what have you. So, you know, to that point, I think Jay Monahan has to look at himself in the mirror and say to himself, okay, what can we do now to improve the PGA Tour so this LIV Golf Tour becomes less of a threat, right? So, you know, just sitting back and finger-wagging players who go over there is not the right solution. We have to think about ways to improve the PGA Tour now, whether it's miking up players or doing more Manning casts, simulcast, if you will, throughout these PGA Tour events, or a betcast where it's all about sports betting, and maybe you can allow for people to zoom in during these broadcasts, famous celebrities, golfers, what have you. You know, just thinking of new avenues to improve the PGA Tour and not just sitting back and criticizing those who defect, because that's not going to improve the game. You got to figure out a way to improve the PGA Tour, to bring in new fans. Maybe you get younger on your broadcast, what have you. So, you know, hopefully Jay Monahan goes on the offensive soon.
All right, so now let's at least get to the tournament itself. The interesting backdrop of all this is that Francis Ouimet won here in 1913, 109 years ago, an amateur. And all we're talking now, 109 years later, on the course he won at, is about money. So that's the backdrop of all this. Gil Hance redid a lot of this in 2009, and he is the course whisperer right now. One thing he did do, it had about 3,200 square feet of green at one point. He's got it up to 4,400. That's a little bit more than Pebble Beach. What does that mean to this week, at least for these players, especially with the rough they have to play out of?
Yeah, it's all a relative game, because honestly, these are the second smallest greens in major championship history outside of one, Pebble Beach, right? So, you know, you better bring your ball striking, and if you don't, I think it's going to be an absolute scramble fest here at the Country Club. Not a big ballpark, by the way, 7,200 yards roughly, par 70. So this isn't like Torrey like last year, or Wingfoot, where Bryson basically bombed and gouged his way to victory. This is going to be a game of artistry, of creativity. And really, I think this is going to be a situation where everybody's going to miss greens, so everybody's going to be in the same bucket. Who are the best around the green players in this field who can scramble their way around? Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau playing really, really well with his around the green game, Rory McIlroy coming off the win. So I think you're going to see really a mixture of different golfers at the top of the leaderboard come Sunday evening.
All right, you mentioned several names right there. One name you didn't mention was Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters and has had a really good year. Not so great of late. What do you think of his chances here?
Yeah, he's actually outside my top 10 in terms of the power rankings here this week. And really, it's not necessarily an indictment on Scottie. I just think there's so much variability on the leaderboard in any major championship, so I think it's time for somebody else to sort of break through here. And my pick to win is Xander Schauffele, and we could talk about him later. But as far as Scottie Scheffler is concerned, I don't think he is going to finish inside the top 10. Maybe finish T17, something like that. I don't think this is the greatest course for him. So I just think it's sheer variability at play here this week. And the talent pool of the PGA Tour is so deep now that, listen, it's totally understandable for Scottie Scheffler to finish top 20 and kind of move on to the next event.
No, top 20 at the U.S. Open's pretty good last I checked.
Right.
All right, so let's get to the Olympic gold medalist, Xander Schauffele. What is it about his game that you think fits this place?
He's gotten a complete game, and he's simply built for U.S. Opens, too. Five top tens in five U.S. Open appearances. Only Bobby Jones back in 1920 has a longer streak of top tens at this event. He's seventh on tour in strokes gained tee to green, eighth in strokes gained approach over the last 24 rounds, Here's a big one. The best sand player in this field, the big defense of this golf course, is the bunkering around these greens.
Yep.
So Xander Schauffele, really great off the beach, top 10 in bogey avoidance as well. That's always useful at a U.S. Open. So he's got that game. It's time for him to break through. I think it happens this week.
In fact, Cam, there's another element that when Gil Hance redid this in 2009, they took out a lot of trees on this course.
Yeah.
And so when you take out trees, what becomes the defense? More bunkering and better position bunkers along the way. I got to ask you about a guy that has a beautiful swing, and that's Colin Morikawa. Does his game fit this course?
I'm going to say no. I think Colin Morikawa could actually miss the cut here this week. His ball striking has not been as good as in years past. I don't know necessarily what's going on right now. Maybe he's in a rut of sorts. But here's the thing. If he's missing greens, he can't lean on his scrambling game because it's one of the worst in terms of the elite players on the PGA Tour. And, of course, he's in that category. But I don't think this is a great setup for him because he's not a great sand player. He's not great with his wedges in general, and his putter can get ice cold. So for Colin Morikawa, I would prefer him at St. Andrews, already an Open champion in his own right, so maybe we look for him there. But this week, I think he actually struggles.
Well, he's a guy that normally plays right to left. And for some reason, and he can't explain it either, in the last month, for some reason, he's fading the ball. And he's like, and he doesn't know why. Like, okay, that's
not a great sign.
No, that's not a good sign when you don't know, right? You're surrounded by a team, Cam. So give me four guys we need to look at. You already said Xander. Who else?
Yeah, keep an eye on Sungjae Im. He's got a really balanced game right now. Number one in this field in scrambling. Number two in bogey avoidance. We've talked about Will Zalatoris on your program before.
Yeah.
Love him at major championships in general. He fits this mold here at the Country Club a lot. So keep an eye on Mr. Zalatoris. John Rahm, when conditions get tough, John Rahm thrives. He's number four on tour in strokes gained tee to green. He's number four in terms of my power rankings as well. And then Tony Finau came runner-up last week at the RBC Canadian Open, and he's got that balanced game right now around the green, tee to green in general, top tens in a couple of U.S. Opens the last 4 years. So Finau, Rahm, Will Zalatoris, Sungjae Im.
All right. Cam Rogers, host of Lock It In, joining us from Plymouth, just a stone's throw away from Brookline. Cam, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Enjoy the week.
Cam Rogers. We're talking money there, Matt.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells founder.
You haven't been happy this week.
I was good until today, but I knew this head coaching hire was coming for the Flyers. So this was just building up inside of me.
It's making your allergies worse.
That too, yeah.
Get yourself together. Come on. They're not going anywhere fast. Don't worry about it. I mean, right now, you know how, you know, you can relate to all the Pirate fans.
Sadly, yes.
So have some empathy.
I always have. I loved it when they had their playoff run, because that was when I was still a student at Clarion. I loved every bit of it.
Well, that was a long time ago. All right.
It was. Also, sadly.
Yes.
PNC Park always has a special place in my heart because that was also where I had my bachelor party, too, or bachelor weekend.
I know.
As you know.
I was talking to some of the Pirates brass, and they still talk about it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
It's become one of our favorite segments on the show where Matt goes off the deep end.
Well, when you haven't won a cup in 40 years and you continue to make the same stupid, lazy mistakes,
yeah, but all
it
your
gets
team,
after a while.
But all your teams never win. Yeah, the Eagles got one Super Bowl in 5,000 years. The Phillies have two world championships ever. The Yankees have won once this century. Let's see. The Sixers have two ever. And the last one was in 1983, which, by the way, was only 8 years after the Flyers won. It really has been lean. I mean, a lot of teams won before you were born.
Yeah, also part of the problem.
They don't seem to understand what you're going through.
No, not really.
You need to let them know.
I always try.
Yeah, but not always through me. I got a show to do.
Even before Jerry, this.
Yes, I thought. Jerry Dulac tomorrow. A lot to talk to him about, obviously, the Live Tour. And, of course, about the U.S. Open, which actually they do play golf tomorrow. Just for a couple of yayas.
Really? We're going to play some golf? All right.
Yeah. Yankees will have 20 losses by the 4th of July. They'll get four in a row in October.